Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When the Lord went to visit the temple of Vishveshwara, hundreds of thousands of people assembled to see Him. Purport. It's a long purport. Very nice, instructive purport. The important point in this verse is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly visited the temple of Vishveshwara, Lord Shiva, at Varanasi. Vaishnavas generally do not visit a demigod's temple. But here we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly visited the temple of Vishveshwara, who was the predominating deity of Varanasi. Generally, Mayavadi sannyasis and worshippers of Lord Shiva live in Varanasi. But how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who took the part of a Vaishnava sannyasi, also visited the Vishveshwara temple? The answer is that a Vaishnava does not behave impudently towards the demigods. A Vaishnava gives proper respect to all, although he never accepts a demigod to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Brahma Samhita, there are mantras offering obeisances to Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the Sun God, and Lord Ganesh, as well as Lord Vishnu, all of whom are worshipped by the impersonalists as Panchopasana. In their temples, impersonalists install deities of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, the Sun God, Goddess Durga, and sometimes Lord Brahma also. And this system is continuing at present in India under the guise of the Hindu religion. Vaishnavas can also worship all these demigods, but only on the principles of the Brahma Samhita, which is recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We may note in this connection the mantras for worshipping Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Goddess Durga, the Sun God, and Ganesh, as described in the Brahma Samhita.
Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Bibharti Durga Ichchanurupam Api Yasya Chacheshtate Sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit or spiritual potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself.
Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tatah prithagasti heto yah shambhutam api tatha samupaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
Milk is transformed into curd by the actions of acids. Yet the effect curd is neither the same nor different from its cause, namely milk. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a similar transformation for the performance of the work of destruction.
Bhaswan yathashma shakaleshu nijeshu tejaha Sviyam kiyat prakatayatya pitadvadatra Brahmaya esha jagadanda vidhanakarta Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world. just as the sun manifests a portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear such names as Suryakanta.
Yat pada pallava yugam vinidhaya kumbha dvandve pranama samaye saganadhirajaha vighnan vihantu malamasya jagatrayasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I worship the primeval Lord, Lord Govinda. Ganesh always holds his lotus feet upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head in order to obtain power for his functioning of destroying all obstacles on the path of progress in the three worlds.
Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahanam Raja samastha sura murti rashesha teja Yasyagnaya brahmati sambhrita kala chakra Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
The sun, full of infinite effulgence, who is the king of all the planets and the image of the good soul, is like the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. All the demigods are servants of Krishna. They are not equal with Krishna. Therefore, even if one goes to a temple of the Panchopasana, as mentioned above, one should not accept the deities as they are accepted by the impersonalists. All of them are to be accepted as personal demigods. But they all serve the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shankaracharya, for example, is understood to be an incarnation of Lord Shiva as described in the Padma Purana. He propagated the Mayavad philosophy under the order of the Supreme Lord. We have already discussed this point in text 114 of this chapter.
Tara dosha nahi teho agyakari das.
Shankaracharya is not at fault, for he has thus covered the real purpose of the Vedas under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lord Shiva, in the form of a Brahmana, Shankaracharya, preached the false philosophy of Mayavad, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nevertheless said that since he did it on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was no fault on his part. Tara dosha nahi. We must offer proper respects to all the demigods. If one can offer respects even to an ant, why not to the demigods? One must always know, however, that no demigod is equal to or above the Supreme Lord.
Ekali Ishvara Krishna ar sava bhritya.
Only Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others, including the demigods such as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Goddess Durga and Ganesh, are his servants. Everyone serves the purpose of the Supreme Godhead. And what to speak of such small and insignificant living entities as ourselves? We are surely eternal servants of the Lord. The Mayavad philosophy maintains that the demigods, the living entities, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are all equal. It is therefore a most foolish representation of Vedic knowledge.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। Lord Shiva is very, very difficult to understand, inconceivable. It is explained that there are certain tattvas that are inconceivable. Tattva means truths or principles. Like even the Guru Tattva, very difficult to understand this tattva. All the tattvas of transcendence are very difficult to understand by our mundane, limited intellect. Similarly, Lord Shiva is such a mysterious personality. He is extremely exalted, very great, and yet he is much misunderstood, not just in the world in general, but even amongst devotees, and even amongst devotees in ISKCON. So Lord Shiva's position is very, very special. Should we worship Lord Shiva? Should we not worship Lord Shiva? If we pass by a temple of Lord Shiva, should we go in or should we not go in? Should we celebrate Shivaratri or should we not celebrate Shivaratri? We are always confused when it comes to Lord Shiva. The other demigods, it's also a matter of some confusion, but there is at least some clarity there. But Lord Shiva, it's an extremely delicate situation. So here, and especially what happens is, when we see instances like this, where Lord Chaitanya was regularly, as Prabhupada says here, visiting the temple of Lord Vishveshwar, Lord Shiva, Kashi Vishwanath in Varanasi. So then we may think, well, every day we should go to the temple of Lord Shiva also, the neighborhood temple, maybe we may go there. Well, yes and no. So that is why Srila Prabhupada has written such a long purport to this verse. So Lord Shiva has to be understood through the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inasmuch as Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, etc., have all to be understood through the eyes and through the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, it is very confusing. In South India especially, there are strong camps of Shaivas and Vaishnavas. Shaivas are those who accept Lord Shiva as a supreme, and the Vaishnavas are those who accept Lord Vishnu as a supreme. And there are often debates and quarrels between the two camps. Nowadays, of course, mostly people are into sense gratification, so they don't know what is what. But in the olden days, people knew something about something. So they used to quarrel a lot. To some degree, it still happens. So this clash is still going on. One time when Srila Prabhupada was in India,
there was an article that appeared in a very prominent magazine. It was a very famous magazine in those days called the Illustrated Weekly of India. Now it's closed down, but in those days it was like Time magazine internationally. So there was one European, he had come to India and taken sannyas in the Shankaracharya Sampradaya, the Mayavadi Sampradaya. And he had written a very big article in the Illustrated Weekly of India, in which he stated very clearly that Lord Shiva is the Supreme. So Prabhupada saw this article and then he was not happy about it. So he told the devotees that, you know, we should refute these arguments, we should write something. So then he asked Giriraj Maharaj, who was then a brahmachari, to write. So Giriraj Maharaj wrote an article explaining that it was Krishna who was Supreme. But then the editor of the magazine, he wrote a very critical article criticizing both the Mayavadi sannyasi as well as Giriraj Maharaj, saying, you know, well, actually God is one. Everything is one. So whether it's Shiva or whether it's Krishna, it's all one. So Prabhupada was even more annoyed. So he said that sannyasi, he's a Mayavadi. But this editor, he's a demon. Everything is one. And Giriraj Maharaj remembers another episode when he met one gentleman who was said to be a very pious gentleman. And he happened to be a very staunch worshipper of Lord Shiva. So in those days, you know, the devotees used to be quite fired up and would take all sorts of ideologies that didn't quite agree with the principle of Krishna being the Supreme Lord head on. So then Giriraj Das Brahmachari at that time, he took him head on as well. So there was a bitter argument between them. It became a little heated. And then the other gentleman also became red in the face because he was so angry. And then anyway, there was no consensus, and then they departed. And then later, Giriraj Maharaj thought he should patch up with him, and you know, because it wasn't nice that they parted on such a bitter note. So they met up again, and this time Giriraj Maharaj was nice. And although the conclusion eventually, after the courtesies were over and the discussions happened, eventually it came to Krishna versus Shiva. And still there was disagreement. Then Giriraj Maharaj decided that he will let Srila Prabhupada settle the matter. So he said, our Guru Maharaj is coming shortly. Would you like to meet him? So he said, yes, I'll meet him. So naturally, when Prabhupada came, the same point came up. This gentleman brought up the point. Your disciple here says Krishna is supreme, and I say Lord Shiva is supreme. So you tell me, who is supreme? So Prabhupada had understood the background. So he steered clear of the polemics of the discussion. He knew that if he stated something, probably this gentleman was not in a position to accept things. So he merely said, well, you see, there are two words in the Sanskrit language. One is called puja, and the other is called bhakti. Generally, the word puja implies that you have some material motive for which you offer your worship. And this is usually directed towards personalities like Lord Shiva and so on, because we want something from them in return. Whereas bhakti is usually directed towards Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, and we offer this service to him unconditionally, without any material motivation, only out of love to please him. So this is the difference between worship of Lord Shiva and worship of Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada didn't take the route of trying to explain who is supreme. He just took the route of trying to explain the worship of these two personalities. So then the gentleman replied, but what if one does bhakti of Lord Shiva In other words, if one worships Lord Shiva without material motivation, so then Lord Srila Prabhupada said, well, that is possible, but it is extremely rare. Generally, people who go to Lord Shiva go for some material desire, fulfillment of some material desire. And he gave an example. He said, if there's a liquor shop, if a man walks into the liquor shop, now you might say he's going for some purpose other than buying liquor, but that will be very, very rare. Generally, when a person goes into a liquor shop, he's going there to buy liquor. Now, there is a slim possibility that he could be a friend of the owner and is going there to give him some Krishna prasadam or something. And that's very rare. But generally, when you see a person going into the liquor shop, you know why he's going there. So similarly, generally, people go to Lord Shiva for fulfillment of material desires. Very rarely will you find someone who worships Lord Shiva without any material motivation. So that pacified the gentleman and he was quite happy. At least he wasn't aggressive after that. So in this way we see Prabhupada was such an expert preacher. He just knew how to approach the subject from different angles and present it in such a way that he could penetrate into the heart and the intellect of somebody. So yes, this is a very important topic. And Prabhupada is mentioning here that we should offer respect to the demigods. In fact, this is one of the regulative principles of devotional service, one of the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, as mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, is that one should not neglect to offer respect to the demigods. It is an offense to disrespect the demigods. And that's logical, because as Prabhupada mentions here, a Vaishnava is supposed to offer respect even to the ants. So why then should we not offer respect to exalted persons like the demigods? Why are the demigods exalted? Even from a material point of view, they are respectable for us because they have a very high position. Just like even if the king or the queen are not devotees, we will offer them respect because they are the king and the queen or the president or whatever. They have a high position. And the demigods are the official administrators of the universe. So it's a very high position. So we offer them due respect. Second, they have been personally chosen by the Supreme Lord Krishna to be in that position. In other words, they are recognized officially by Krishna. So when Krishna recognizes and places someone in such a high position, then we know that we must recognize them, because not recognizing or acknowledging them means actually denying the will of Krishna. So we are actually disrespecting Krishna when we disrespect the demigod. Just like disrespecting a minister means disrespecting the king, because it is the king who has nominated that person to be a minister. But thirdly, and very, very importantly, we respect the demigods because they are devotees of Krishna. Yes, sometimes some of the demigods may have difficulties, in the sense that they get a little carried away with the material facilities and opulence available in the heavenly planets. And they may even sometimes offend Krishna a little bit. But Krishna takes it very kindly. He doesn't take it seriously. And he pardons them. He may give them a little punishment here and there, but by and large he accepts them as his own. So when a Vaishnava can worship ants, why not a demigod? So that's one aspect of it, that we should offer respect to the demigods. But does that mean that we should worship the demigods as independent supreme lords? No, that would be an offense. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, we must worship the demigods from the point of view presented in the Brahma Samhita. This was a book that was discovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was traveling to South India. It's a very, very important book for us. Unfortunately, only the fifth chapter of this book was found. The other chapters were not available. Till today, they are not found. But Mahaprabhu, being Krishna himself, revealed only that much of this scripture as was essential for us to understand certain very fundamental things. So not only is Krishna emphatically described as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only is the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, described in some detail in this one chapter, but also the positions of the different demigods of the material world vis-a-vis Krishna have also been very clearly mentioned here. Therefore, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada has quoted the verses from Brahma Samhita that pertain to these demigods to make us understand what is the positions of these demigods, truly speaking. As far as Durga, who is Shakti, Lord Brahma explains, Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reva Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharti Durga. So, Durga is the one who manages the material creation, but she is the shadow of the spiritual potency of Krishna. And she is Krishna's servant. Icchan rupam api yasya cha cheshtate sa. So according to the desire of Krishna, she handles the material creation. So she is not an independent goddess. The very word Shakti or power implies that there is somebody who is a source of that power. There is Shaktiman, and that is Krishna ultimately. So Durga is not the absolute. But do devotees worship Durga? Well, the gopis worship Katyayani, who is Durga. But why did they worship Katyayani? Because they wanted Krishna as their husband. So even though devotees of Krishna may sometimes approach the demigods, it is from this perspective. Understanding the demigods to be representatives and servants of Krishna. They are devotees of Krishna. Similarly, the next verse Srila Prabhupada quotes is about Lord Shiva. Kshiram yathada divikara vishesha yogat. The famous verse and the famous example of the milk and the yogurt. Inasmuch as there is simultaneously no difference, and yet there is some difference between yogurt and milk. There is no difference, and yet there is some difference between Krishna and Lord Shiva. When Lord Krishna takes a form that touches the material nature, so to speak, then he is called Lord Shiva. When Lord Krishna appears in this world as himself, or as Lord Vishnu, or in any of his incarnations like Lord Narasimha, Lord Vamana and so on, he doesn't touch the material creation. He remains aloof. He remains transcendental from the material creation. However, when there is a need for him to assume a form that is somewhat in touch with the material creation, then he is known as Lord Shiva. And because he has assumed a form that is in touch with material nature, that touch keeps him in a different category, not in the category of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's almost there. He's very close to that position of the Supreme Lord, but not quite, because of that little touch with the material nature. Just like one drop of lemon is enough to change the milk into yogurt. You don't need to put a whole lot. So Lord Shiva, therefore, is very, very exalted. We'll come back to Lord Shiva a little later.
Next in the list, Prabhupada speaks about Brahma. Bhasvan yathashma sakaleshu nijeshu tejaha. He speaks about how there are certain gems like Suryakanta which shine brilliantly, but they actually reflect the light of the sun. They do not have an independent source of, they are not independent sources of light. Similarly, Brahma is very powerful, very intelligent. He is the creator of the universe. Nevertheless, the power that he has is not his own power. He merely reflects the power and the intelligence of Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahma is the secondary creator, not the primary creator. And then Prabhupada discusses Ganesh. Ganesh is also a great devotee. Yat pada pallava yugam venidhaya kumbha dvandve pranama samaye saganadhirajaha. Ganadhirajaha means the king of the elephants, which is Ganesh. And he has the elephant head. And upon his tumuli that protrude from his elephant head, he holds the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. And it is from these lotus feet that he derives a certain power. What is the power that Ganesha has? He is worshipped by his worshippers or people in general to remove obstacles from their path. Whatever be the purpose they want to achieve, generally people approach him for some material purpose. You know, someone has some business venture and there's some obstacle in the path. So they'll go to Ganesh and say, please remove the obstacles from the path of my business deal so that I may get this contract. Or there's some other material obstacle. So they he's called Vighna Vinashak. Vighna means obstacles. So they approach him for the destruction of such obstacles. But Ganesh himself is a devotee. And he states very clearly over here that he derives his power to demolish everybody's obstacles because from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So Ganesh is also a great devotee. Surya, the sun god, who is like the eye of Krishna. He is full of power. But his effulgence also ultimately comes from Krishna's effulgence. It is merely a reflection of Krishna's effulgence. So all these powerful, much worshipped demigods are actually limbs of Krishna. So even if one does worship Krishna, or the demigods, one should do them in this spirit as laid down in these verses of the Brahma Samhita. As devotees of Krishna, not as independent lords. Now, as Krishna has very clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, antavattu phalam tesham tad bhavatyalpa medasam, he said that those who are less intelligent worship the demigods and they go to the planets of the demigods. Whereas those who are worshippers, mad bhaktan yanti mam api devan deva yajo yanti. So those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but those who worship me, they come to me. So even though the demigods are very, very powerful, independent worship of the demigods is considered offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is worship of the Supreme Lord, but it is improperly and indirectly done. Yepyanya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita tepi mam eva kaunteya yajantya vidhi purvakam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those who worship other divinities, meaning the demigods, they worship them with faith. And such worship is also worship of me, but it is worship that is incorrectly performed, avidhi purvakam.
And the example, of course, Srila Prabhupada used to give, based on the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the example of watering the roots of the tree, or feeding the body through the mouth rather than through any other organ. If someone places some food into the ear, and we ask him, "My dear sir, what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm feeding the body." So yes, you are feeding the body. He may argue that the ear is a part of the body and I'm putting food through the ears. I am feeding the body. Yes, you are, but that's not the way to feed the body. The way to feed the body is to put the food in the mouth. Then you chew it, goes down the throat, into the digestive system, it's digested, and then you get nourishment. So similarly, worship of the demigods is worship of Krishna because the demigods are parts and parcels of Krishna, they are limbs of Krishna. But that's like putting food in the ears. So the proper way to worship Krishna is to worship Krishna directly and also to worship his devotees. So if our vision is that these demigods are devotees of Krishna and therefore I'm approaching them for getting their blessings, their mercy, to become a pure devotee of Krishna, then such worship or such a visit to a temple is bona fide, then there is no problem. And this is the mood in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to visit the Vishveshwar temple in Varanasi. Regularly, every day he would go for darshan. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well that the 10 sons of King Prachina Barhishat, who were known as the Prachetas, they worshipped, or rather, they followed the instructions of Lord Shiva and they became pure devotees of Krishna. So Lord Shiva is actually very, very merciful and he has all the power to grant us pure devotional service. So we should accept Lord Shiva as a great Vaishnav and beg him for pure devotional service to Krishna. So then why don't we follow and observe Shivaratri? That's the next question. If Shiva is so exalted for us. And the answer is that if we as devotees of Krishna do that, then the people at large who think that Shiva is a supreme or somebody else is a supreme will think, okay, that's the bona fide thing to do. And they will worship Shivaratri with the conception that Shiva is supreme. And they will join us in performing Shivaratri, not understanding our conception, not knowing that we are worshipping Shiva not as a supreme, but as a pure devotee of Krishna. So in order to avoid such a misunderstanding, and in order to avoid spreading such misconceptions in the world at large, we as Vaishnavas do not generally observe Shivaratri on a regular basis or in a big way. Or even our visits to Lord Shiva's temples may be occasional. Not that we do it as a routine like we do it for the temple of Lord Krishna, where we would regularly come, preferably every day, to have darshan of Krishna. We hear the pastime of the Brajabasis in the 10th canto, when it is said that Nanda Maharaj and the Brajabasis one time, ekada, went to Ambikavan, which was a famous place of Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada explains that this ekada indicates that Nanda Maharaj was not a regular worshipper of Lord Shiva. One time he went like that. So our worship of Lord Shiva is not that we do it every day, but we may sometimes do that. And we do it in the mood that he may kindly bless us with pure devotional service. Lord Shiva has such an important role to play in Brajabhumi. In fact, one cannot enter into the holy places of Lord Krishna's pastimes unless Lord Shiva blesses us. So he is called the Dikpal. He is a protector of the dhams. In Mayapur, he is called Bodo Shiva. He is there, protecting unwanted elements from coming into Mayapur and helping the faithful. Similarly, in Vrindavan, on Brajabhumi, he stands guard at the four corners of Brajabhumi. In Mathura, he is present as Bhuteshwar Mahadev. In Govardhan, he is present as Chakleshwar Mahadev. In Kamyavan, he is present as Kameshwar Mahadev. In Vrindavan, he is present as Gopeshwar Mahadev. In Kameshwar Mahadev, one can go to him. The word Kama means desire. Kamyavan is a place where all desires are fulfilled. So one approaches Kameshwar Mahadev to fulfill our desire for pure devotional service to Krishna. Similarly, Chakleshwar Mahadev has a very close pastime with Sanatan Goswami in Govardhan. This is right on the banks of the Manasi Ganga. Sanatan Goswami would perform his devotional service on the banks of the Manasi Ganga. But there were many mosquitoes there, and they troubled him very greatly. So Sanatan Goswami was thinking, I better leave this place. And then Lord Shiva became worried, because Lord Shiva was there as Chakleshwar Mahadev. And he said, what's this? I'm going to lose the association of Sanatan. I got to do something about this. So then he approached the demigod who was in charge of mosquitoes. He must have had other departments under his charge also. It doesn't look like this, you know. The only thing that this demigod would have under him is the mosquitoes. He must have had many, many other charges as well. But anyway, the mosquitoes were under him. So he said, you know, please do something about this, you know. Don't disturb the pure devotees like this. So then the mosquitoes from then on stopped troubling Sanatan. And Sanatan decided to stay on. Actually, it is said that Lord Shiva approached Sanatan in the guise of a Brahmana and said, no, don't leave this place, you please stay here. And it is said, although I haven't verified it myself, but it is said that till today there are no mosquitoes in that particular place because of Lord Shiva's grace. So Chakleshwar Mahadev is called, the place is called Chakra Tirtha. Chakra Tirtha. Chakra because that's the place where Lord Krishna Sudarshan Chakra came and rested after he had used it for protecting the Brajabasis from the wrath of Indra at the time of lifting the Govardhan Hill. The Sudarshan Chakra was going round and round, evaporating all the water that was coming down in torrents. So then the Sudarshan Chakra came here, so Chakra became Chakla. Chakla Chakra Tirtha. So you had Chakreshwar Mahadev. Similarly, the deity of Gopeshwar Mahadev, of course, is very famous. When Lord Shiva wanted to enter the Rasa Dila, he was prevented from doing so. Then Paurnamasi asked him to go to Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi said, Krishna is the only Purusha or the male in the Rasa Lila. So then she said, you have to become a gopi to come into the Rasa Leela. So Lord Shiva asked, how do I do that? He said, go and take a bath in the Manasarovar. So when Lord Shiva took a dip and he emerged, he emerged in the form of a gopi. And then he came to the Rasa Leela site. And he was given entrance in the site. But as soon as the other gopis saw a new gopi coming in, they all started asking her questions. So, where do you stay? Who is your husband? And what is your name? And Lord Shiva didn't have an answer, naturally. So then they said, no, this is an imposter, this is an imposter. So then Paurnamasi came and said, no, this is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has come here. Because he couldn't have entered this place without being in the body of a gopi. He wanted to witness the pastimes from a very close distance, whereas Brahma and the others have to watch from a very great distance beyond. And Lord Shiva is right here. But nevertheless, Shiva could not actually participate in the dance. He had to wait there, and till today he is waiting there, keeping away the unfaithful and blessing the faithful with the understanding of the Rasalila pastimes. So Lord Shiva as Gopeshwar Mahadev is in the form of a Shiva Linga in the daytime, but in the evening he is decorated like a gopi with all kinds of feminine dress and ornaments and so on. So in the evening he becomes a gopi, and in the daytime he is Lord Shiva in the form of a Shiva Linga. So there's many, many pastimes of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan and so on. So we see Lord Shiva in this way. There is no confusion in the minds of devotees about the position of Lord Shiva. So certainly the next time we are passing by a temple of Lord Shiva, there is no harm in going into the temple and offering respects to Lord Shiva. But it's not necessary that every day we should travel 20 miles or 30 miles to visit the temple of Lord Shiva. That we can do to come to Radha Gokulananda. And we offer our respects to Radha Gokulananda, take darshan of their beautiful forms, chant and dance and hear about Krishna and the association of devotees. Thank you very much. Lord Shiva ki jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Is there any question?